There is such a beauty to life, isn't there? Beauty and wonder and joy. Not all the time, but it's there. There's the beauty of a day like today. Easter Sunday, and all of us here, with all the noise and commotion that we all bring. And the beauty of a day outside like what we have today, with sun shining and no snow and no mosquitoes yet, and bulbs pushing up out of the earth and grass turning green. So beautiful. And then the wonder of children around us, like singing today, and the kids who are in the pews. And what a gift, what a wonder to be with children and all that they bring. And the joy we have of family and friends, new friends and old ones, the joy of music and sunrises and great food and time together. There is beauty and wonder and joy to life if only we have ears to hear it and to see it and to put it into expression in our voices and in our faces. The story that we're gathering around today, the story of Jesus, is full of wonder and beauty and joy. The ways that Jesus interacted with and loved people of all different types. The way that he was drawn to people who are on the margins, to people who are right on the edge and who are often looked down upon by others. And how he healed diseases and raised the dead and spoke truth to power, not out of his own self-interest, but because it was the most loving and truthful thing to do. And then his resurrection, this most amazing thing of all. So if you're not familiar with his story, it is amazing. It just keeps on unfolding. And then add to all of this the powerful, transforming things that he's done for us. Offering forgiveness and grace that none of us can earn and that we don't deserve. And how he's truly changed many of our lives, mine included, a complete reroute. Entering our lives as one who knows us best and who loves us the most. And who blesses us beyond what we can fully put into words. There is incredible beauty and wonder and joy in this whole story of Jesus. But mixed in with all the bright and beautiful things, there's also this dark undercurrent, isn't there? We know this in life. We see it. We encounter it. We read it online. We scroll through it on our phones. The hard things, the bad things that come to us, things that leave us saying, what? How could that happen? Just this morning with the bombings in Sri Lanka as worshipers were gathering for Easter worship, targeted. Outright evil. And every day, every news cycle, there's more. Acts of violence and add to this hurricanes and famines and floods. And there's this steady, relentless counterpunch to beauty and wonder and joy, right? Steady reminders that there is so much wrong with this world and that we are included. If you read the Gospels, which is where the story of Jesus is told, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in among all the wonderful and beautiful and joyful things that we find, there's this other side too, a dark tone that creeps in. Slowly, and it gradually grows. We heard that dark tone this week in Holy Week, during Holy Week, for those of us who are part of Maundy Thursday and Good Friday services here or elsewhere. On Maundy Thursday, we gathered to remember this last gathering Jesus had with his followers. Last time of teaching, gathering around this Passover meal, the Passover meal being a Jewish feast celebrating God's deliverance of his people from the oppression of Egypt and celebrating the fact that God had chosen them and promised to be with them as their God. But during that Passover meal, Jesus told his friends that the bread they were about to eat, that this was his body broken. And the wine that they were about to drink, this was his blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins. His body, his blood. Then his disciples, of course, couldn't fully understand this. But during that very meal, there's this loving meal of being together, one friend slipped out, Judas, and betrayed him. Then later that night, and through the night, into the next day, into Friday, what we call Good Friday, everything went down into darkness. He was arrested and horribly beaten, and a crown of thorns was jammed on his head. Later that day, the crowds screamed, "Crucify him, crucify him." The crowds who had welcomed him into the city as a king. Crucify him. Then he was condemned to death and led through the city and nailed to a cross between two criminals. And then darkness visibly covered the whole area. And he said, "Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing." And then he died. That's darkness. The next day, Saturday, that same darkness, not necessarily visibly, but spiritually, it must have saturated everything. From everything anyone could have seen or heard, there was no coming back from this. He was dead. The story was over. He was buried in a cave-like tomb with an enormous stone rolled in front of it. And in addition to that, the Roman government had a seal put over it, like a police tape, "Do not enter." And according to Matthew's gospel, armed guards were posted at the tomb to prevent anyone from stealing his body and then making up stories about resurrection. It must have seemed like darkness was complete. That evil had won, that the human political powers really did have the upper hand, and that all that he had promised to be and to do, that it was all just words, because now it was over. And then we come to Sunday, what we call Easter. Let's hear the story from Luke. Luke 24, 1 through 12. On the very first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.'" Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not seem to believe the women. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them to be like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Wow. One of the beautiful and also wonderful and joyful things about life is when darkness or when dark things are infiltrated or changed by light. When jagged, raw-edged things somehow become something different, marked by good, where beauty comes out of them. There's a powerful verse in Isaiah where God spoke through the prophet Isaiah about his redeeming power, saying that he'll place on his people a crown of beauty rather than ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. It's from Isaiah 61. That verse is often condensed down to a short phrase, "Beauty out of ashes." You've heard that phrase. Beauty out of ashes. And maybe you've experienced that. Beauty out of ashes. Where something painful comes to you, something that you wouldn't wish upon anyone, but then in time something beautiful grows out of it that you couldn't have seen coming. like a quality in yourself or a depth of relationship with someone, maybe with a spouse or a child or a friend. For a lot of people, that's the point that they point to is when their relationship with Jesus really began. At a deep, dark, painful point that somehow began something new. Something new grew. Beauty out of ashes. Let me give you an image that I have of this. I have a good friend named Jim who lives in Chicago. And over the past 15 years or so, he's been building a cabin in northern Alaska, or in a remote area of Alaska. 10 years ago, our youngest son, Peter, and I, we went for about a week to work with Jim and some others on his cabin. It's a very remote place. Here's a picture of it in the winter. It's a very remote place. Tundra, grizzlies, shotgun nearby. Everything is done by hand tools, and the only thing with power is a six-wheeled ATV that Jim uses to haul things in and out. He told this story about the beginning of this project, how he and his three sons went up there and they felled dozens and dozens of white spruce trees, trees that would become the logs for the cabin. But those cut down trees were about a half mile away from the cabin or from the building site. So one by one, they wrapped a chain around the trunk of a tree, and with the ATV, they dragged it about a half mile to the building site across tundra. Tundra is very fragile. And with each dragged log, they cut a deeper and deeper groove into the tundra from every direction. So all these drag marks coming to the building site. Jim grew up in Alaska, and he's got a very high regard for the land. And he looked at these drag marks all around, and it grieved him. What had he done to the land? But how else could they get them there other than dragging them? So that was all they could do for that summer, and they went back to Chicago and let the logs dry for a year. The next summer, they were going up there again to begin notching the logs and building the walls of the cabin, and Jim wondered what the damage would look like after this year had gone by, those long, dark drag marks through the tundra. But when they got there, they found something else. The deep gashes were still there, but instead of the long, black drag marks across the land, each drag mark was tinted with red, the red of lingonberries. Lingonberries. Growing in abundance in each drag mark, going radiating out from the cabin. Beauty out of ashes. Those deep, dark drag marks that the logs made, they opened up the land for something that hadn't been able to grow there before. Delicious lingonberries, that northern fruit. Now that's just an image I'm giving to you. But it's an image that points to what God can do in our lives by the redeeming power of Jesus, who can take the scars and the drag marks that we carry and the ones that we have caused, and who can grow something new out of them. It's what's called redemption. It's the redeeming power of Jesus who knows about deep scars and fatal damage on a very personal level himself. He was betrayed by a friend, Judas. Then he was abandoned by all the others when things got hot. He had to carry his own cross through Jerusalem and then was hideously nailed to it outside the walls. And on the cross he cried out, my God, why have you abandoned me? He knows about the depth of darkness and deep scars. But he also clearly knew where all this was going. He told his followers three times before they even got to Jerusalem that he would be handed over, that he was going to suffer and die, but that on the third day, he'd be raised. Of course, they didn't understand this, nor could we, but he did. And on this day that we call Easter, On this day, all those many years ago, he showed himself fully alive, first to the women, and then to the others, and then to others who followed him, and then to more and more people, fully alive, resurrected from the finality of death. He trusted that by the redeeming power of God, that all this would happen, that his resurrection would forever break the condemning power of sin and the definitive finality of death, bringing hope to the hopeless and freedom to the trapped, and bringing those very things that he told Thomas he was bringing. Thomas, doubting Thomas, we call him. Jesus came into the room, showed his hands and side, and said, "Peace. Peace be with you. Peace I bring to you." It's what he continues to bring. Peace in this dark world. And wonder and beauty and joy. That's why that title, Redeemer, is so important to know. So important for us to get this. That he brings beauty out of ashes. He transforms the darkness of death into the brightness of life. And it's not only death that he redeems, as huge and powerful as that is. He also redeems the dark things in this life, on this side of death, the dark areas that we have in our past and in our present, things hidden, things that are secret, things that are seemingly unforgivable. He redeems. He transforms. And his word to us is, regardless of where you've been, regardless of where you've not been, or what you've done or you have not done, regardless of how dented or bent or drag-scarred your life is, regardless of those things in you and about you that you don't even want to name in prayer, he says, come. Just come as you are. Come to me. There's room in my embrace for you. Because I am the Redeemer. I hope you know this part of the story of Jesus. The power that he has. The presence that he brings. And I hope that you don't just know the story, but that you've encountered him in this way. Not just as a person from history long ago and far away. Not just somebody you once heard about and maybe, yeah, it'd be good to get to know him someday, but right now life is too busy. I hope you know Jesus in this redeeming way. The one who transforms people and relationships and families and hope and history in the past and the present and all the darkness we bring. And I hope you know that there's no litmus test required, as if you need to get your house in order, get your life all cleaned up before you can even approach. He says, no, just come. Come as you are. One more brief image. We all saw the burning of the Notre Dame Cathedral this past week, on Monday. It seemed like the whole world stopped for a bit, jaws open. What? How can that be? Notre Dame. And people, especially people in France, sobbed over the loss of that beautiful, sacred space. Some 800 years old. The flames, the burning spire that tipped and fell in through the timbers, fell into the sanctuary along with all that charred wood and a dark mountain of ash. It's the opposite of that phrase. Beauty out of ashes. This was ashes out of beauty, right? But then did you see that photo of the cross inside the church? The cross on the chancel of that cathedral there. With smoke still rising. Those fallen timbers all around and hoses still spraying on the cathedral, putting out the fires. The cross on the chancel caught in a beam of light from the firefighters, probably. It glowed gold. stunning. What a penetrating image. In the midst of ash and destruction and fire, here's the symbol of the death and resurrection of Jesus, the cross, literally shining bright in the middle of all that. Beauty out of ashes. It's a glimpse of what Jesus does in people's lives. He redeems what's burned and broken and fallen. He brings light in the darkness. So as we move into this day and into every day ahead, may we each one of us know the wonder and the beauty and the joy of what Jesus brings as our crucified and risen Redeemer, the one who brings the gifts of forgiveness and grace and life, if only we humbly receive it. So to close, to quote Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, he said, "Let's remember that there is a creative force in the universe that is working to pull down the gigantic mountains of evil, a power that is able to make a way out of no way, a way out of no way. That creative force, that power making a way out of no way, is nothing other than the redeeming power of Jesus Christ." So I hope, I pray that you know Him in this way. And that if, in all honesty, you don't, I hope you'll be honest about that. But know this, that the really good news about Jesus is that there is so much more for us to know. And that we are already loved, and that He's ready to embrace us. May this be that day of all days, when we all know this. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, on this day when we say He is risen indeed. May we live it. May we know Your redeeming power and how You do bring beauty out of ashes, that You redeem drag marks, that You shine in the darkness. Help us to hold on to this and to grow in this in a world that moves in such opposite directions. May we know the wonder and the beauty and the joy of life together with You. We pray this all in Your holy name, Jesus. Amen.